You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, Dennis Prout and Company from Prout Financial Design in Traverse City. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. On this Thursday, April 3rd, 2025, welcome all you listeners. Happy to be here and thank you for listening on this Thursday morning. If you are listening to the rebroadcast, that's on Saturday at 9 a.m., that is a rebroadcast, of course. This one's live and in the flesh. So if you do happen to be listening today, which it is, you're welcome to text or call. And that phone number, if you would, Ron, is?
231-947-0023. That's 231-947-0023.
Thanks. And we did not have time to answer all the texts last week.
I'll have to see if I can dig. There was one left over.
One left over? Okay, good. Thank you, if you would. So, yeah, if you have a question of a financial nature, let's go for it. But first. The market's down. Surprise. S&P 500, what did they say, rather, buy the rumor and sell the news? Well, the news is out. And everyone's curious what the Trump tariffs are going to mean in this economy. It doesn't matter pretty much who you listen to. They're all saying, we don't know. Relatively common. And because they don't. They don't know that tariffs are a tax, they say, which is accurate. But what impact it's going to mean, and how much movement occurs with our trading partners around the world. What changes they might make to their own tariffs to get these good old United States of America to move their tariffs. Are we hearing some
I don't know where that's
there?
Coming from.
Okay. That's kind of nice.
I don't know if that's coming from outside the studio or what. Not coming from in here.
That may have been coming from my phone.
Aha!
We found the culprit.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. I was listening to that this morning in the office while I'm working. Somebody needs to work. Well, man, it is. It's good to be here on this breezy day. And markets go up and they go down, and we all know that. Sometimes they go down a bit too much, perhaps. Dow off basically, 3.8% here this morning. And markets do trade in ranges and with change. If there is a threat to their future, if you will, where they see costs increasing, then the bidding, if you will tend to go towards selling those same companies. But what's interesting, again, is who knows what the impact's really going to be. Could this be a Brexit move, as Heidi was referencing earlier today? By the way, good morning, Heidi Cartwright.
Good morning, Dennis.
Our own Director of Operations. Thank you for being here with us.
Certainly. It's my pleasure.
Sorry for taking so stinking long to introduce you. My apologies. And Beth Shire, too.
Good morning, Dennis.
Our Director of Marketing. Great to have you. And then how about a little bit of light fare here from Charlie Munger? Charlie Munger, 99 brilliant quotes. We're not going to list them all. But I think it really might be kind of fun to listen to. Being rational rational, rather, is a moral imperative. You should never be stupider than you need to be.
Well, I think I can agree with that.
And here's one other. In my whole life, I have known no wise people who didn't read all the time. You'd be amazed at how much Warren reads, at how much I read. My children laugh at me. They think I'm a book with a couple of legs sticking out.
Ah. So he's no longer with us, but that was Warren Buffett's right-hand man, right?
Yeah, Charlie Munger, yeah. You bet. Died at the ripe old age of 99 years old.
Wow.
Something for being in the financial industry, eh? I guess you might live longer if you're in the financial industry, Heidi.
I don't know. I don't have numbers on that correlation, but it would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to be talking about five retirement account moves you can't make still for 24. That was last week. This week, we're going to be talking about not all money is taxed the same. Sorry, I read the first article headline, and we have a hand raise here.
Yeah, this is a text message. Shouldn't retirees stay at least 60% invested in the market, or inflation will totally erode any savings in the long term, 5 years or more?
It always depends on your own risk tolerance. I have known investors who have stayed invested at least 60% throughout their lifetimes, all the way till their dying day, and done very well, thank you. Mm. So it all depends on your attitude and your ability to stay with it when the wind isn't blowing in your direction. Obviously, you know, the weather is not always going to be on our side.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think we all learned that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So given that reality, I know I'm generalizing, but it is a general question. It depends on your own risk tolerance, your ability to stick with it when things aren't going well, because they will go badly at points. This economy may be tested. There are some big houses, if you will, Goldman Sachs. They're increasing their likelihood, possibilities, of a possible recession, even though they give it relatively minor shrift, if you will. Okay? Short shrift. How about that?
One more text.
Yes.
This is left over from the top of the hour with Colleen, but it relates, sort of. So I just wanted to share that.
Cause sure.
You mentioned it was Doris Day's birthday today. She's no longer with us, but was born on this
really?
Day.
Oh, really? How about
she
that?
Lived about like 97 years. She lived like Charlie Munger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But somebody said, my aunt was the accountant for the Waltons TV show and was a close friend of Doris Day. I was in L.A. on a business trip and paid a surprise visit to see my aunt, and she was in the kitchen baking with Doris Day.
Wow.
A lovely woman and very down to earth. I feel very fortunate to have met her. So, for people listening a few minutes ago.
You know, that is the coolest.
I always liked that movie. Was it The Man Who Knew Too Much or something that she was in with Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, that we just had that was something like that.
Yeah, Hitchcock.
Yeah, she was an old friend of
Rock Hudson. Sarah, Sarah.
Rock Hudson.
The Man Who Knew Too Much. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
But we digest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Not all money is taxed the same. Unlocking the full potential of proactive tax management. And I'm just going to read the beginning of the article. I think it actually states things quite well. For decades, the ultra-wealthy have known the secret that all money is taxed the same. Keeping this premise in mind, every available strategy can be adopted to minimize tax liability, maximize wealth preservation, and accumulate the amounts needed for an enjoyable retirement and or even to pass it on. So being aware of drawing income, for instance, which all of us like to think about perhaps when we're retired, where do I draw it from? What are the amounts that I have to draw? And two, Heidi mentioned just before when we were getting ready for the radio show, one of Ed Slott's famous quotes, don't waste the 12% tax bracket. Don't waste it. It's taxable income for a married couple up to about $96,000-$97,000 or so. So Heidi pulls out the ever trusty sheet. $96,950 for 2025. We'll just call it $97,000. That's taxable income taxed at just a 12% rate. That is cheap tax in today's terms. Really reasonable. So how could you possibly fill that? Maybe it's a Roth conversion. Maybe it's going out to get that job you've always wanted. Ha ha. Whatever it is, there are certain ways you might decide to further fill up that 12% bracket. Now, that's for married couples filing jointly. Obviously, if you're single, those amounts are going to be about half that, at about $48,000 to $49,000 taxable. That's after your standard deduction for a couple, which is going to be about $27,000, $28,000 or so. So keep that in mind. And I know people are probably a bit more acclimated, if you will, to tax brackets because we're nearing tax season here, April 15th, the date all of us love and hold dear.
It's coming up.
Yes, it is. So given that reality, what are you doing this year to take advantage of that bracket, if you will? Understand the order of money. Not all assets are created equal when it comes to taxation. So you most likely have pre-tax money, IRAs that are fully taxable when you draw them out. That means 100% of what you draw out is taxable. Well, do you want to tax that at your rate or have your children be taxed, if you will, at their rate? The difference there can be significant. If you have, for instance, $2 million in an IRA, you have one beneficiary, one child. That child, given that he or she inherits that full $2 million, will have to draw out a little over $200,000 a year. They'll have to take it out over a 10-year period. In that case, that'd be fully taxable. Do you want them to pay the amount of tax that they'd be subject to at those rates, which is probably in the 22 to 24% bracket, depending on their other income? So you see where that might go. You can plan not only for yourself, but the children as well. So we term the available vehicles as pre-tax, retirement accounts funded with tax-deductible contributions, post-tax, funded with money already subject to income tax, like Roth IRAs, that sort of thing, Roth 401ks. You decided you've got it available to you within your own 401k to pay some of the tax now and let it grow tax-free within your Roth 401k. And by the way, as long as you invest through a cycle like this, that's called the pinnacle of dollar cost averaging. You've always wanted to be on a pinnacle, haven't you? Well, I guess so, as long as I don't slide off and fall down, right? But given the reality of that, investing in a deeper cycle right now may well be a great tactic and could definitely help you in the dollar cost averaging scheme of things. The other type of tax advantaged account is a non-qualified account, which some income might be subject and some not, perhaps partially tax free, if you will. That might be a mutual fund that you're simply liquidating on a systematic withdrawal basis to satisfy a $500 income per month amount where you're drawing out partial principal and partial interest. That could be a great strategy too. So taking a look at the forest as well as the trees, what are the best vehicles to draw or use for income? Is it that rental that I am allowing my children to stay in? I do love them after all. Or is it the fact that I'm able to draw partially from a Roth here and a regular IRA there? And or I've got an annuity that I've held through the school system forever. Whatever it is, which of those can help you most with income for a certain period of time, perhaps, and which are going to be partially or fully tax advantaged? Paying some tax now can be a very wise thing to do. Most more progressive accountants, now I know that we don't always like the word progressive, just stay with me for a minute, please, okay? It's all right. So if you, I'll just say, many of the more progressive accountants will want you or cheer you on in paying some tax today. given the reality of how much lower those tax brackets are. You and your wife, for instance, together are making $100,000 in income. Well, guess what? You're in the 12% bracket. You're in the sweet spot for that. You may want to consider putting more of your 401k into the Roth option right now. How do I do that? Go on site, go on it, your 401k site, and most of you can do that right online.
Right, and usually in the portal, they'll let you do that sometimes, or mm-hmm. you can call as well.
You had questions, we have answers. Mm. Who is that? Oh, yes. So given the reality, it can be amazing how you can use today's realities to benefit yourself in the long term. The big key, the big question, if you will, is do you have the patience to let it ride?
I have a couple of questions on the text line. Want to
yes.
take a crack at
yes,
those?
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
Has anyone figured average total taxes paid by an individual, income plus sales plus gasoline, plus property, et cetera, will vary by state, but Michigan, for example. Does that make sense?
Oh, I'm sure they figured that. But
like the total tax burden?
Sure.
That's what they're asking.
Oh, okay. They're,
yeah.
Oh, you know, I actually have a chart on that just came out from the Tax Foundation.
There you go.
I'll dig it up.
That's great.
From East Bay Township, Mike says, if I sell money market shares to be able to buy equities at new lows, then I decide not to buy equities. I buy the same number of money market shares that I originally sold. Will there be a negative tax consequence for these actions compared to having left the
money market fund alone?
Money market fund alone.
Well, it's going to depend on whether or not that's a non-taxable account. So let's say if I sell my money market fund, so let's just say it's a regular money market fund at Vanguard. Can I say that out loud? Probably not. Okay, I didn't say that. You didn't hear me say that. So
how about ABC Mutual Fund Company?
Yeah, ABC Mutual Fund Money Market Fund. You see, I mean, it's insidious. Compliance, I get it. Mm-hmm. So I buy new equities. Then I decide not to buy equities. Well, does that mean you're going to sell your equities? Mm-hmm. So nothing happens unless you sell it. So if you make 10% in a month and you don't sell it, the IRS doesn't see it. Okay? They didn't know that it happened, and you don't have to report it. Should you decide to sell it in that self-same taxable account, then indeed it is a taxable event, and you have to report either the gain or the loss. So keep in mind, how do you report the gains and the losses? How much of the loss can you report in any given year? There are some rules and regs regarding that. Again, if you're doing that within an IRA, that's not a reportable thing. It's like you were speeding, but you had one of those jets that they couldn't detect with your radar, and so they didn't care. I'm sure they cared after all, but really, they didn't. So given that you have an appropriately unmarked vehicle that they don't notice, then it didn't happen. Just beware when it does happen, it can be painful. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Dennis.
I don't know about that analogy.
Yeah, that analogy kind of stinks. But, you do need to be aware that in some cases you'll need to report it, some you will not, depending on the type of account you do those sorts of trades in, okay?
I have one data point there, an earlier texter.
Sure.
If you add up all the taxes, Michigan per capita, what the average person in Michigan pays per year, $3,686, and that ranks 34th in the country.
Really not bad.
No.
Now, that's in state only taxes, correct?
Yeah, all the state taxes, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. That's interesting. About $3,600, almost $3,700.
Yeah.
So who's the most expensive then, Ron?
Well, this is not in order.
What if it's
so
Hawaii?
It's not in order.
Let's see. We'll scale down. Number one be North Dakota, $7,700.
That really surprises me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought they were one of the lower taxed states.
Vermont is number three. Number two, out there. Number two is Hawaii.
Well,
oh,
Hawaii. Yeah.
I guess they'd be number one. Mm-hmm. 16 retirement mistakes you will regret forever.
Yeah, I think the title of this article is a little melodramatic. Yes. I mean, some of the stuff they talk about is actually fixable, or you can change your plan. So maybe not regret forever, but just I thought they had a lot of good points of things that you should think about as you're approaching retirement and some things you can avoid to save yourself some pain and anguish. So first is relocating on a whim. And this article comes to us from Kiplinger. And they said, one thing you want to do is test the waters before you make a permanent home. So if you're intending to relocate and spend your retirement years somewhere else, you want to spend extended vacation time in that prospective destination.
Okay, hang on a second, Ron. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're telling us we need to spend extensive time there first.
Well, I'm not going to argue with authority.
Really? That really caught my attention just now.
Yes, they will. That will help you get a feel for the people and the lifestyle.
Gentlemen, tell your wives. Dr. I mean, Zora, are you listening, dear?
2 weeks, we have to go for six.
Yeah, whatever.
I know a guy that moved to Florida from Chicago, and warm climate, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Property taxes, not so much. Weather, not so much. Back to Michigan now.
Mm. Yeah. There are those boomerang people. Yeah. That, and they say this is especially true if you're planning to retire abroad, where the language, the laws, and the customs can be so different that you maybe don't feel comfortable there. It was great for a visit, but living there all year round could be a different story. So they're like, check it out. Another thing to keep in mind is maybe you want to rent before you buy. So spend a couple of years getting to know the place, getting to know, you know, where you would want to live and those type of things before you make a permanent decision.
Here's a great quote from the article. Turns out the Deep South didn't suit their Philadelphia get-it-done-now temperament. Mm. So the personality style of the people around may not just fit your own, all right? You may love them. You may not. Give it some time.
I know I lived in the South for a little bit, and I really missed the seasons when I lived in Florida. I was like, you know, your whole life, you're just, that's the course of time. And
rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rhythm. All right, so number two, moving along. Falling for too good to be true offers. And this reminds me of what my grandmother always said, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So a good rule of thumb, this talks about avoiding scams and shortcuts because careful planning and decades worth of wealth building are keys to your secure retirement. So you want to avoid those get-rich-quick schemes. Guarantees of spectacular profits in a short time frame without risk, requests to wire money or pay a fee before you can receive a prize, or unnecessary demands to provide bank account and credit card numbers. These are all red flags for you out there talking about fraud. And, you know, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And so you just have to have some skepticism when you're looking at some of these ideas out there.
What if it's somebody, say, from Nigeria that emails you?
Mm-hmm. That would be a red flag, yes. In fact, in the article, they say, don't walk, but run away from anyone pressuring you to make an immediate decision or discouraging you from getting advice from your financial advisor. And number three, planning to work indefinitely. Many baby boomers have every intention of staying on the job beyond age 65. And this is actually something that Dennis covers in our Retirement Planning Today course, where it is really interesting, the people who intend to work longer, but when you look and see what actually happens, they tend to retire a little bit earlier than they estimated.
Yeah, the numbers at age 62 were stunning. And I think they kind of queried people at about age 55, and many of them, a large percentage, were saying, listen, it's going to be 65, 67, 70. But the reality check, the numbers crashed in terms of real statistics for those who retired much earlier than they had thought, either through health issues or issues out of their control. Hmm. Well, that may be out of your control, too, but I'm talking job-related changes that occur.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the next one is putting off saving for retirement. The article notes that 28% of people have nothing saved for the future, and 39% aren't contributing to a retirement fund, and another 30% don't think they'll ever be able to retire. But I really come from the place where anything that you can do, even if you're in your 50s and you're like, I haven't started, you can start today. Getting started, anything you do now will benefit you in the future. So if you're behind, there are things you can do to try to catch up, and there's even accommodations in the tax contribution limits that the government offers you a catch-up period. So if you haven't started, just get started now, because anything you do now will help you in the future. It'll give you more options anyway. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the clients that I see that tend to have success keep an open mind on ways to build wealth. It may not just be through your 401k plan. It may be through the small business that you decide to start, because it morphs from information and passion that you've had in the past. So there are many different ways to build wealth. Some of it may be paying off debt that you know you shouldn't have. Many different ways to change your balance sheet. So stay away from the myopic view, rather, that you can't change it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't take the defeatist route, if you will.
Today's a new day, right?
That's right.
Yes.
So,
we have a question.
Yes.
Quick phone
Let's
call before we get to number five there.
Number five.
Amity's on the line from Maple City. Good morning, Amity.
Good morning. Love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
I'd like clarification on something Dennis said, that if my child inherited $2 million and they have to take it out within 10 years and pay, if they took out some each year, they'd have to pay taxes on it. I thought inheritance was tax-free up to $6 million or $11 million. Could you clarify that?
Absolutely, and thank you for calling. I was talking about an IRA. An IRA does not get a step-up in basis. That's why Ed Slott refers to it as a tax... What does he say about that, Heidi? A tax-infested...
Oh, yes.
Investment, because it's always going to be taxed. So that's what I'm referring to. If you pass on a taxable 401k account, an IRA account, a 403b account that's fully taxable to you when you draw it out, and you pass it on to them, it's fully taxable to them, and they have to empty it over a 10-year period.
And I think the caller was mixing up with the estate tax. You don't have to pay a tax on an estate if it's smaller, if it's under like $13 million.
Well, $13 million per individual. If you're mm-hmm. married and you handle things properly, it goes up to $26 million. It's a huge amount that can pass estate tax-free. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you. You always have to pay taxes on money coming out of an IRA, though, income taxes.
Yes. Now, the other part of that, and we didn't cover that, if you own stock or mutual funds, with a low-cost basis, and you pass that on outside of an IRA, you've owned it in a joint account forever with the wife, and let's say, you know, typical, you've got two children as beneficiaries of that account, they inherit that asset with a full stepped-up basis, as long as they are not owners on the account with you. So if they're simply beneficiaries in most types of accounts that are taxable as they grow, a non-qualified investment of some type, non-IRA qualified, that tax will not be imposed. They will get a step-up in basis to the full value at the date of death. Huge benefit there. So if you've owned stock forever outside of an IRA and you paid a piddling amount, whatever it was, you know, let's say $10,000, it's worth $2 million today, that full $2 million cost basis will pass on to your children.
So that
that's cool stuff.
And that could help you determine why you are in your retirement. Hey, maybe I will take money from my IRA so I can leave this asset as my legacy and they can get the step up in basis. So all these things are interconnected, and you really have to look at the long term, like you were talking about in your article, Dennis.
Yes, can make a huge difference over time. Man, I mean, those relatively minor decisions can make a huge thing. Acknowledging what you don't know is the dawning of wisdom. Another great quote
Another
from Mr.
quote.
Munger. You bet. All right.
All right. Moving right along, and I don't think we're going to make all 16, but we'll see how many we can get in. Claiming Social Security too early. Of course, you can start Social Security when you're 62 if you qualify, but the big question is, should you? And we talk about this a lot on the show, and this is something we can get into more when Bob Simpson joins us in a couple of weeks on the radio show.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions for Bob, and we're going to be talking with him beforehand, too. But, yeah, that should be interesting. What is the date on that, April 17th?
17th. All right, so the next one's a big one, is borrowing from your 401k. Taking a loan from your 401k retirement savings can be a tempting idea. After all, you're paying yourself interest, right? So it might sound tempting, but it has a lot of strings that go along with it. And one of the big drawbacks is if you leave that employer where your 401k is, and you leave that employer, your loan can become a deemed distribution if you don't pay it back.
Means it's taxable.
Exactly. And if you're under 59 and a half, that adds another 10% penalty on top of that. The article also goes into, you may be getting interest, but it may be a lot lower than your potential investment gains if you had kept invested in some of the different offerings within the 401k plan. So you want to keep that in mind, because it may sound like a good idea, but it could be detrimental in the future. So be careful of those 401k loans.
If you're under 59 and a half, and you're going to take money out of your 401k to fund something like a big event, like a wedding, say.
Yes.
Your tax liability is what?
If
you're under 59 and a half.
If you take money out of your 401k, that's an extra 10% penalty.
A penalty plus a tax on it,
you
too?
Still have to pay the income tax, but they're going to charge you 10% on whatever you took out as a penalty for taking it out before that big number. 59 and a half.
Okay.
That's assuming that you're still employed and you can draw those funds out. Now, what's interesting is it's kind of mixing there, Ron, because if you're not employed at that place anymore and you were over 55, the age of 55, when you were no longer employed, then those monies coming out of the 401k, you would avoid the 10% penalty. It's still fully taxable. So, you know, make certain that you're navigating that properly.
Right. And you want to go talk to your financial advisor, because for public service employees, I think the age is 50. So there are a lot of little intricate details. If you're going to take money out of your 401k, you definitely want to talk to somebody about
that. If you're singing the song, "I'm a fool for the city," because you're a worker there, then you can take the money out at age 50. It's kind of crazy. I don't know where that rock tune came in, but, you know, hey, maybe it's applicable. Heidi, go, please.
Decluttering to the extreme. They talk about in this section how a lot of people, when they retire, hey, you know, I'm gonna clean house. I'm going to get all this extra stuff out, right? But they caution you and say, hey, just because you're retired, you may need to keep your business records for a number of years in case there's any kind of audit or any kind of problem. So don't throw out those important business papers, tax papers, your will, your estate plan. You want to make sure you're looking through this stuff before you get rid of it. They also say there are valuable items, maybe antiques or things that you have received from your family. You just don't want to go full ahead on that decluttering without thinking of, hey, is this of value? Could I get value for this? Another caution is putting your kids first. A lot of people want their children to have the very best, and they want the best education, the best wedding, all these things. But footing the bill for private tuition and lavish weddings at the expense of your own retirement savings could come back to haunt you. Maybe you won't have enough to make it through that retirement period. One thing to keep in mind that I always think about is children can borrow money to go through school, but no one's going to lend you money to live on for retirement. That's just not a thing out there.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way.
That's right. I'm going to jump down to number 12 because I think this is important. Don't neglect your estate planning. Even if your assets are modest, you still want to have a valid will to specify who gets what and who's going to be in charge of your estate. So do a will or maybe look at a trust, but don't let that things go. If you die without those things in place, then it goes through the probate system and can be, there's a lot of complications, there's a lot of extra expenses. The money may not get to who you want it to go to. So it's all your hard work, all of this that you've accumulated over your life, and you really should be the person to direct who benefits from that instead of a judge who doesn't know you or something like that. So I think it's important for everyone to have a will or a trust and know where it is.
Big three or four, powers of attorney in case you become disabled, and health and or other disabilities that can occur, a will and possibly a trust. And lastly, and maybe even most importantly, beneficiaries updated. Make certain that those are updated. So we got a question.
One says, somebody said with the stock market going down today, will my annuities, my IRA, and my Roth suffer? Should any of these accounts be closed due to the falling stock market?
Well, it depends on what they're invested in. In terms of a general question, I can't really say. It depends on what your annuity is invested in, whether it's it's a fixed annuity or variable contract. So if it's fluctuating with the stock market, then it certainly will suffer today. Whether or not you ought to close those accounts, that's an entirely different question, because you may wind up, if it's a classic closing that you're talking about, those accounts could all wind up being taxable into you. So be aware of the terms, if you will. There are many different ways to adjust the risk lower if you're feeling that concerned. And there are other ways to take advantage of what's happening out there, depending on how you've already invested. So that is a very general question.
Yeah.
And, those are general answers, I know. If you do have a question of a financial nature that you would like more specificity with, call our office, 231-947-3992. Melissa and or Janie would be happy to talk to you, and we'll get back to you ASAP, 231-947-3992.
Along the same lines, somebody said, is this a good time to buy stocks?
Well, it's certainly better than it was yesterday. And I'm not being smart. I mean, really, if the market's down by 4%, that is quite a decline in one day. Classic, when the market has been down by 10%, which it already has, a year later, the chances of it being up are relatively significant if we don't go into recession. We covered these stats, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, we can't guess the future. We do know it, but we can't guess it. So, just kidding again. It certainly is a better time, again, if you have that risk tolerance mode within you where you can handle that. The prices are certainly discounted now. And isn't that interesting? We'll buy a coat that's on discount, but will we buy stocks when they're on discount? The feeling is totally different.
It is totally different. And just a couple months ago, the market was at highs.
Yes,
and it was sort of painful to jump into the market because you're paying the high. But with this pullback, if you were, there is a thought that you could jump in at a lower rate than you could have a couple months ago. But like Dennis said, you have to look at your own risk tolerance. You have to look at what's your goal for this money, your timeline. Do you have decades before you're going to need it? Are you in your 20s or 30s and it's your IRA? Or is this money that you're dependent on for a systematic distribution every month? All these different pieces come into play as whether it's a good idea or not.
But for a lot of people, they just have an IRA or 401. They don't adjust it. They don't buy. They don't sell. Mm-hmm. They just assume somebody who knows what they're doing is doing that. So those people they're relying on are buying today, right?
Often they are. And that's the other variable part that we hadn't discussed yet. And thank you, Ron, for bringing that up. Seriously, so many times, not all the time, but many times these money managers are in there buying today. They see, for instance, I probably shouldn't name the stock anyway. They see companies that are very well known trading at significant discounts. They're in there snapping them up. Because they're trading at those discounts now.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people wait for the price to come down so they can jump in. And so
these money managers often will. Mm-hmm. Stats, we've got time. Oh, we have another question first.
Is it legal to keep my old records in my garage behind my Corvette?
As long as they're not classified information.
It depends on what kind of a Corvette that is. If it's a 19, what's the earliest Corvette? Was it 51 or 52? I've forgotten. So do we have time here, Ron, for
we
stats?
We do have about a minute.
Okay, do you have one stat particularly?
Oh, goodness, I do. Let's see, the 23andMe, the company that provides DNA testing services, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy after failing to find a buyer to alleviate insolvency proceedings and a rejected buyout by one of their co-founders. The Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing also looks to solve ongoing legal challenges from a data breach. And that is from Yahoo Finance. And I just want to say real quickly, all the information covered today, we do offer complimentary meetings. So please feel free to call the office. We'd love to chat with you, set up a time to sit with one of the advisors at 231-947-3992.
Thank you, Beth.
Yeah.
Sure appreciate it. Well, that time just blew right on by.
It did blow on by today.
You bet.
Prout Financial Design, as they said, 947-3992 for appointments or questions. ProutFinancialDesign.com on the web.
Correct.
Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Beth Scherer, thank you all.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron.